I have been looking forward to this lesson for a while. Hopefully it'll all come together. I want to talk about fandom. Fans are very passionate people. Now, that's short for fanatic, right? If you get somebody talking about what they are a fan of, you need to be prepared to listen for a while. And if you say something against their fandom, well, you might hear even more. This morning I wore a tie with Beatles albums. Do we have any Beatles fans? I'm not one. They're okay. But in fact, I've made the statement at times, I think that they are one of the most overrated bands ever. And there you go. I have said that and gotten some responses from saying that. I might get a response once I step down from here. They're not bad. They're not what everybody says they are. That's all I'm saying. Suddenly I'm wondering why I was looking forward to this. Well, that's not my fandom. I'm not a fan of that band. But I am a fan. And I want to tell you about a band that I am a big fan of. I am a fan of Weird Al Yankovic. Al Yankovic. Some of you might be saying, isn't this Weird Al Yankovic? I say that was Weird Al Yankovic in the 80s. How many of you would want to look the same as you did in the 80s? He changed it for about the last 20 years. This is what Weird Al looks like. If you're unfamiliar with this particular individual, so sorry. Let me give you a little bit of background. Weird Al is became famous writing accordion-based song parodies. You know, there's a huge market for that sort of thing. Started, it's his first single, came out in 1979. He took My Sharona, turned it into My Bologna. Then things like Another One Rides the Bus, instead of Another One Bites the Dust. You know, real groundbreaking work like that. Became very famous a little while after that when he parodied a couple Michael Jackson songs. He turned Beat It into Eat It. And then Bad turned into Fat. So he had his album, you know, Michael Jackson had his album Bad. Weird Al had an album called Even Worse. And the main song there was I'm Fat. If you film the music video, the same set that Michael Jackson did his, wore kind of a similar outfit, but in a fat suit, as you see there. And then once he decided he didn't want to just be the Michael Jackson guy, he moved on. He took Madonna's Like a Virgin and did Like a Surgeon, you know. And so he got famous after these, and from there it's been about 40 years of doing this sort of thing, and he's built up quite a fan base, and I'm part of it. And among the most popular is the what we kind of take as the anthem for Weird Al fans, White and Nerdy. He did this song about, he took a rap song and sang it about being white and nerdy. And in the music video, he got Donny Osmond to dance with him. So, I tell you this, now you are caught up on who Weird Al is, if you are unfortunate enough to not know. I tell you this, you know, I am a big fan. And like a lot of fans, I know an awful lot about this individual. I could talk far longer than you would want. I probably already have talked far longer about Weird Al Yankovic than you want me to. Got to correct things. I know the names of his family members. I know where he's from. I not only know his birthday, we celebrate his birthday at our house. We call it the nerdiest day of the year because it's October 23rd, which is also Mole Day if you're a science nerd, because a mole is 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd power, 1023. There you go. It's also Weird Al's birthday. I know an awful lot about this guy because I'm a fan. And one reason that I bring it up today is I'm going to meet him tonight. We've been to three of his concerts before. Took the boys to the first concert last summer. And Rachel and I are going to Ann Arbor tonight, ditching you guys for evening service. Gary's got a fine lesson, unless he's upset about the Beatles comments enough that he's not going to cover for me. And we're going to get a chance to meet Weird Al, get an autograph, talk to him. And so I bought those tickets months ago and immediately got incredibly nervous. Being a fan, what am I going to say to this guy? And I decided to make you guys part of it. Because when I was trying to think of how can I not come across as the super nervous fan with nothing to say, you don't want to be, hey, remember when you sang Eat It? That was awesome. Don't want to be that guy. I thought, here's what I can do. Weird Al, Alfred Matthew Yankovic, member at the Hollywood Church of Christ, I thought, here's what I can do. From the time that I bought the tickets until today, I thought, I bet I can make an awful lot of Weird Al song titles into sermon titles. So tell me if you recognize any of these. And I thought, I could talk to him and say, I'm a minister at Romeo Church of Christ, and I have been naming my sermons after your song titles, and I finally let the congregation in on the joke this morning. We'll see how that goes over. But at least I'll have something to say. I probably won't freeze. So I wanted to let you guys in on this because it's what I've been geeking out about for today. I haven't shared, I haven't brought it up much because it's one of those things that either say very little or say a lot about it. But this is how fandom works, right? You know a lot about it and you get excited about it. You want to tell somebody about it and when you look at how people respond to their favorite bands and their favorite teams and their favorite movies, there's a part of us that says, well, maybe that's what we should be like as a church. I've heard those lessons. Maybe you've heard those lessons. They show a crowd of screaming fans at a stadium or an arena, and they say, why isn't church like that? I would say Jesus did not want a church like that. Jesus did not want fans. Jesus has never had a problem finding fans. But he sure spent a lot of time looking for followers. In our reading this week, we see a scene with an awful lot of Jesus fans. They call it the triumphal entry. Right? Jesus shows up, people hear that he's coming, and they get the palm branches and put them down. They put their coats down. They cheer. They sing Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. These are fans. Jesus had no problem drawing fans. But just like most of the other times when fans show up, Jesus is not too interested in them. He rides right past. And then he takes some time to talk to his followers and teach them something. Jesus didn't seem to want to spend much time with the people who were just so thrilled to be around him and want to see something incredible. There's a scene in John 6. I know we're supposed to be in Matthew, but it applies. There's a scene in John 6 right after the feeding of the 5,000 where the next day a bunch of these people show up again and they say, "We believe in you." They say, "You are the Son of God. You are what we've been looking for." And he says, "You are not my followers. You are not here because you believe in me. You're here because you were hungry yesterday, and I gave you food, and you're hungry again today." And he went on to teach them. He talked about, that was the scene with the "I am the bread of life. If you want to be fed, eat me." And some people were very confused about that. And instead of explaining the confusion away, he let them be confused. And it says many people turned away and no longer followed Jesus that day. Jesus wasn't interested in fans. He knew how to get fans. He was looking for followers. And so what's the difference between a fan and a follower? Well, we've talked about fans. You've seen me fan out here today. A fan is someone who is very passionate. It's not a negative thing. A fan can be very passionate. But for a follower, it should change your life. For a follower, it should define your life, right? A fan may make a decision. A follower makes a commitment. A fan may know everything about Jesus or whoever they're a fan of. I could list off Weird Al stuff all day. I don't know him. Even after I meet him tonight, I'm not going to know him. A fan knows about someone. They don't know them. Jesus doesn't want us to know about him. He wants relationship, intimacy. A fan can be a fan of many things. Weird Al may be at the top of my list, but I've got more. I need to look out for more sermon titles later. I don't know. But Jesus says, "I don't want to be one of many. I want to be your only that you follow." A fan might follow all the rules. You know, we talk about a fan of Jesus. They say, "I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do." But Jesus says, "I'm not calling you to be a good rule follower. I'm calling you to follow me." And there's a lot that goes into this idea. And we'll probably come back to this idea of fan and follower a few more times this year as we're going through our reading plan. But I want to highlight a few of these examples where we see people come to Jesus and some are fans, some get it, and are followers. So first, we have uh, these these fans at the triumphal entry. These guys had a really good day, I imagine. I bet they had one of those mountaintop experiences that I saw the Son of David. I saw the one blessed by the Lord. And then I went home and talked about how great it was. They had an experience. But think of the difference between the ones who the only thing that day cost them was maybe having to wash their coat because it got stepped on, as opposed to the ones who were actually following Jesus as he rode through. Those disciples who were closest to him. Those who didn't just cheer as he went by, but went with him and learned from him. Ultimately, we're talking about those 12. Traditionally, they say 11 of them died for Jesus, and the 12th was exiled because of him. There was cost there, and their lives were changed. Last week, we read about the guy that we call the rich young ruler, who wanted to know what he needed to do to get eternal life. What do I need to do? He wanted to know, how can I join the fan club? Right? And Jesus told him. He says, you're looking to make a decision. He said, I want a commitment. And that made him very sad. He walked away. Compare that to when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John. He says, come follow me. And they put their nets down. James and John left their father's boat. And they came to follow. Nicodemus was a fan. Right? He came to Jesus at night and said, I really see something good in you. And nobody could do these signs if they weren't from God. But Nicodemus had a lot to risk. Nicodemus was a powerful man, and he knew he would lose that power if he was seen to be one of Jesus' followers. Nicodemus couldn't get past being a fan. Now, maybe he was redeemed towards the end of the book. When we get to John, we can discuss whether or not he was a follower at the end. But when we see him in John 3, he's not willing to take that step. Compare that to Paul, who had just as much to lose as Nicodemus and lost it. And more, because he said it was worth being a follower. These are the things that define that difference. These words may seem similar, but they ask so. The one asks so much more of the other, and so. This morning, I ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? It seems like a strange question to ask in a church, especially in a congregation like ours, where most everybody has been here for a while. Most everybody would say, yes, I've been a Christian for many years. Are you a follower? In what ways can you point to this as my life has changed? I hope you can. I'm not here to point any fingers and say, fan follower. That's for you to figure out. That's part of what this is all about. It's not about what can I see that you're doing? What can I see that you're talking about? What bumper stickers do you have? How many Christian-themed ties do you have? It's not about what I can see. It's about your relationship with Jesus. And so, like I said, we're going to come back to this idea a few times throughout the year. But take some time as you go home, You don't have to give me an answer, but I hope you have the opportunity to answer this for yourself. Are you a fan or are you a follower? This morning, if there's anything we could do for you, if you want to say, I gave it some thought and I realize I'm not where I want to be and I need prayers, let us know. How awesome to be able to stand alongside you and say, we want to be there too, and we'll help each other. If you've been an enthusiastic fan on the sidelines but just haven't made that decision, and you need to say, I need baptism this morning because I want to do the things Jesus said to do. I want to be a true follower. That's even more awesome. We can do that today as well. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
God is called, the prodigal called, he may.